WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. High school and some college students around Virginia walk out to protest gun violence on Wednesday. For the time being, if you live in Harrisonburg and you want your household recyclables taken care of, you'll have to haul them in yourself. The city isn't doing it for you anymore, at least for a little while. And the United Way in Harrisonburg fosters a community conversation about those just above the poverty level. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, March 15th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Yesterday, students at the University of Virginia participated in the nationwide walkout to honor the victims of the Parkland school shooting and propose gun control measures. WMRA's Emily Richardson Lorente was there.
It's about 35 degrees here and windy, but nearly 1,000 people have come to participate in this rally on the lawn at UVA. Sarah Kinney is student council president and helped organize this event.
This is our future, this is our country, and we can either be complacent or give it our best shot at making a difference.
The official walkout was scheduled for 17 minutes, enough time for the student council members lining the rotunda steps to recite the names of all 17 victims and to outline a handful of gun reform proposals in a sort of call and response with the crowd.
Enough is enough!
Of course, no one here really expects this event to lead to a change in the law.
No, but it can plant a seed.
Maurice Walker took time out of work to be here. He says this isn't just a feel-good event. It may be inspiring someone in the crowd.
You know, the folks who could become a congressman or could become a state delegate and decide, hey, we want to change laws. You just don't know.
One thing we do know, an event that appears to promote any type of gun control is contentious in this country. The student council actually got some pushback for planning it. To that, President Sarah Kinney says,
although this issue is contentious right now, I believe that we are on the right side of history.
For WMRA News, I'm Emily Richardson Lorente.
Rockbridge County High was one of thousands of schools across the country who also participated. WMRA's Jesse Nadler filed this report.
Rockbridge County is pretty rural, the kind of place where a decent percentage of teenagers already own their own firearms for hunting. But that didn't stop about 250 of them from taking part in a nationwide protest of gun violence in schools yesterday.
Today marks the one-month anniversary of the shooting, which took place on February 14th, a day meant for expressions of love. But families instead lost the people they loved.
18-year-old Catherine Brody, a senior, helped organize the event. Brody read each name of the 17 victims.
Alyssa Al-Hadef, 14 years old. Scott Beagle, 35.
It was followed by a moment of silence. Fellow organizer, senior Lulu West, then addressed the crowd.
We're here today to let Congress know we want to be safe in school. We want our friends to be safe in school, and we want our siblings to be safe in school.
The event served as a reminder that seniors will be casting their first ballots this November.
Yes, yeah. And register to vote! And then follow through and actually vote.
For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
Students in the Richmond area also participated, and as WCVE's Megan Pauley reports, a couple hundred students at Albert Hill Middle School were among them.
At 10 a.m. on the dot, students poured out of the school's front doors and gathered on the terrace near the front entrance. Some small groups held up signs that said enough and how many more lives. One group of girls, including 12-year-old Carrington Terry, stepped up to the microphone.
So I feel like everybody across the country is doing this, so I think it's a good.
And like the government isn't doing anything about it, and if these killings or shootings keep happening, then we're gonna keep walking out and keep protesting.
A few parents also showed up to stand in solidarity with their kids. Michelle Cox has a sixth grade daughter at Albert Hill.
And after the school shooting in Parkland, she asked if she could be homeschooled. But I told her no, she'll be safe. The people at the school are very loving and very caring.
There has been some movement at Virginia's General Assembly to talk about school safety. But Cox says they need to include guns in the conversation. Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
And finally, Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain was at Freeman High School outside Richmond and has this report.
Hundreds gathered in the school's baseball field, standing in the cold for 17 minutes. At the start of each minute, one victim's name and story was read out loud. Maxwell Nardi is a senior who helped organize the event.
We're together in this. We all have been through active shooter drills. We all have the pain and understanding of the victims in Parkland and the victims across the nation and how this has gone down, and we're sick of it.
Nardi blamed lawmakers for failing to act on gun control, school safety, and mental health reform.
We recognize that this issue is across the spectrum of issues, which is why we want to make sure that we're respecting every issue. But universally, we want to make sure that we're fixing the flawed and loophole-filled problems, specifically in the state of Virginia, but also across the nation.
Students are already planning their next event. Hundreds are expected at the state capitol next weekend for a march planned by Richmond Public Schools. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
The city of Harrisonburg has suspended collection of separate recyclables as part of its curbside trash collection after the company handling the city's solid waste notified Harrisonburg in February that it would no longer operate its waste processing facility. In a notice posted on the city's website Wednesday, the city says residents must now haul their recyclables to a central recycling center. Otherwise, all waste will go to the county landfill. Harrisonburg's Public Works Department says it is considering all options for its solid waste and so-called single-stream collection program, in which residents had been dumping all waste and recycling materials together. The city hired Vanderlind Recycling in August 2015 to use the single-stream process to separate recyclable materials from trash at its facility in Troy. Like all municipalities in Virginia, Harrisonburg is required by the state to recycle 25% of all of its waste. Finally, the United Way has started discussions with local nonprofits and others to come up with solutions to help those in the Harrisonburg area struggling to make ends meet. WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports.
Community action groups have been putting their heads together to come up with ways to help Alice. Alice isn't a person, but rather the acronym for a group of people in the community who may be described as asset limited, income constrained, but employed. It's a portion of the population that earn an income above the federal poverty level, but less than the basic cost of living in the area. And that means households known as Alice struggle to afford the bare necessities. In Harrisonburg, 39% of the city's population falls within the Alice threshold. The study originated with the United Way in New Jersey, and soon other states followed with their own studies. Virginia's Alice report was released last year, weighing existing statistics including household incomes, as well as the cost of basic needs such as childcare, housing, transportation, and food. Laura Tony Holsinger, the executive director for the United Way of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County, said learning about the local Alice population was an eye-opener for her fellow United Way board members, who realized that Alice individuals were closer than they thought.
So I think a lot of people are realizing, you know, these are people that are in my life, whether they're in my coworkers or people that take care of my children or people that care for my older parent. They're people that we interact with. They're us. They're part of our community. Collaborative solutions are really the only way that we can make sure people have what they need to, what I like to say, meet their next milestone.
Those milestones could mean earning a high school diploma or GED, pursuing an advanced degree, moving up professionally, anything that could be seen as moving forward in life. To discuss those options, Tony Holsinger and other community leaders, local nonprofits, and community volunteers got together to discuss ways to help the Alice population find those options.
You can come up with some really interesting and creative solutions when you start to really have that cross-sector conversation.
That conversation happened Wednesday morning at the Rise Faith Community Center in downtown Harrisonburg. It included elected officials, members of local nonprofits such as Second Home, the Fairfield Center, and students and faculty from James Madison and Eastern Mennonite Universities. To generate ideas, the crowd of around 140 people broke into several groups.
One of the things that, you know, stick out from the Alice report for me is the idea of there's a poverty level that we think about, and that's what people say, but that's not really a living wage.
Aaron Hegmeyer with the Fairfield Center helped facilitate one of several groups in the room. With a variety of backgrounds present in each group, whiteboards filled up with suggestions for support programs ranging from childcare to home repairs to mental health. Among the people present were those who count themselves as part of the Alice population, including Brenda Miramontes, who is studying social work at Eastern Mennonite University. She said that community acknowledgement of their Alice neighbors would be the first ideal step to crafting solutions.
It's just learning. One of the people that we talked to is like, they mentioned it's such an invisible issue that nobody's aware of it. And, like, we want, like, people to be aware of the situation.
A large portion of the Alice Report addresses how a limited household income not only affects individuals and families, but also the community at large. Tony Holsinger said that with supportive programs in place, easing the distractions caused by financial hardship could mean an overall reduction in stress, not just for the individual, but for the community as well.
If we can take that burden off of families, that is huge. Think about how much more productive of an employee that person could be, how much more engaged that person could be in their child's school, how much more time they would have to care for an aging parent. And when you can take that burden off, people can think about what they want to be thinking about, which is life and work and family.
It's a complicated issue, and so the end of Wednesday's session marked the beginning of a conversation. The United Way plans to hold more community discussions in the near future, with the next one set tentatively for April 5th. More information can be found on the United Way of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County's website at uwhr.org. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
And we've got a quick link to that and more information up at our website, wmra.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.